Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, May 23, 2024, 1 John.
Not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. This is the one epistle in the New Testament scriptures that describes the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, inside and out. The Apostle John. And it's interesting, I don't know if you realize, but in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke always mention the name John. In the Gospel of John, he never mentions his name in John. He does mention about the one that the Lord loved, but he never uses his name. And 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, he never gives his name. But he was the one that totally nailed the ultimate objective of the church age, having virtue, love brought to completion in our hearts. And we're in the last chapter, chapter 5, but after 1 John, guess what we're having next? 2 John. And right at, there's only one chapter in 2 John, only one chapter in 3 John. But right after the prologue, he gets right into virtue love. And so he continues. And of all of the Apostle Paul, he didn't die of old age. The Apostle Paul was executed. Executed by Nero. And the horrible crime he committed was that he was a Christian. And for being a Christian, he was executed. He didn't die of old age. He went to heaven. While he was still in great physical shape. And but the Apostle John, he lived to be very, very old. The oldest of all the apostles. Well, we have a lot to this coming up. I'm going to miss 1 John when we finish 1 John chapter 5. But I'll get right into 2 John and we'll get going on it again. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, sir, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture. the eternal and absolute truth of your word. That spiritual food and manna from heaven that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. 1 John chapter 5, we have exegeted the first three verses, and it sounds like this. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah, the anointed one of the Father, has been born of God, regeneration. And everyone who loves the Father, the one who regenerates with motivational virtue of personal love for God, also loves the one who has been regenerated by Him, all fellow believers, with impersonal love for all. By this we have come to know that we love the children of God with impersonal love for all, when we fulfill these two conditions. Condition number one, when we love God. That, the first condition, that has to come first. Personal love for God the Father. And second condition, when we execute His mandates. For verse 3, for this is the love for God, motivational virtue of personal love for God, namely, that we keep on executing His mandates, and His mandates absolutely are not difficult to fulfill. In 1 John 5, 1-3, verse 3 tells us that God's mandates for us, the royal family of God, living in this unique dispensation, the church age, God's mandates absolutely are not difficult to fulfill. When you are living the spiritual life by the grace and the power of God. The spiritual life that we have given to us in the church age is totally unique. The only time it was ever lived was by the Lord Jesus Christ in His hypostatic union. And then He tried it out, tested it, and then passed it on to His royal family, passed on to us. It's a supernatural way of life. It demands supernatural power for its execution. And that supernatural power is God the Holy Spirit. So for the first time in all of human history, every member of the royal family of God at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ is indwelt by God the Holy Spirit, the universal indwelling of the Spirit in the royal family of God. As a base of operations for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. And that is the power to live this unique spiritual life of the church age. Now God's mandates absolutely are not difficult to fulfill when you are living the spiritual life by the grace and the power of God. However, when you are living in Satan's cosmic system, then God's mandates are impossible to fulfill. When you are living outside of the spiritual life, in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred, it is absolutely impossible to fulfill God's mandates. And what are God's mandates? Well, they include using the problem-solving device of rebound when you do sin. Revelation 3:19, given in the imperative mood, to repent and change your mental attitude and rebound, get back in fellowship with God. 1 John 1:9. Ephesians 5:18, keep on being empowered by the Spirit. You have in your Bible, keep on being filled with the Spirit. The verb is plerao, is used of in a ship with sails, the wind filling the sails and empowering the ship, moving it through the water. So when you see, keep on being filled with the Spirit, I know some of you keep on being filled with the spirits, but that's a different thing. And that's not what this passage is talking about. This says, keep on being empowered by the Spirit. So every time you see that, keep on being empowered by God the Holy Spirit in your life. Your human energy, the flesh, cannot live this spiritual life. Only the power of God the Holy Spirit. Keep on being empowered by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. Keep on walking by the Spirit. Living your life by the agency of God the Holy Spirit. And when you do that, then you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. Ephesians 4:30, a prohibition. Stop grieving the Holy Spirit of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, another prohibition. Stop quenching the Spirit. Hebrews 10:25, another prohibition. Stop forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as some are in the habit of doing. 2 Peter 3:18, grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Obeying the mandates of God are as simple as saying no to temptations from the sin nature, rebounding when you fail to say no to temptation from the sin nature, and living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Keep on being filled, empowered by God the Holy Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. These mandates are not burdensome, and they are not difficult to fulfill. The ultimate objective of the spiritual life in the church age is to have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. No one teaches that any better or more completely than the Apostle John. Personal love for God, stage one of virtue love. Impersonal love for all, stage two of virtue love. Occupation with Jesus Christ, stage three of virtue love. Personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ both serve as motivational virtues in life. The virtue is found in the object of personal love, that is God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father, as the author and designer of Operation Grace, and God the Father as the author and designer of the spiritual life for the church age. And God the Son, who won the strategic victory on the cross, solving the world problem of sin, and God the Son, the one who tested out and passed on to us, the royal family, this unique spiritual life of the church age. In effect, virtue love is thinking divine viewpoint. maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. Personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ motivates impersonal love for all mankind. And impersonal love for all is an unconditional love. Unconditional. Unconditional for all mankind. The good, the bad, the ugly. I know today we got lots and lots of bad and ugly and very little good. But impersonal love is unconditional for all. Impersonal love is the ultimate expression of virtue, humility, objectivity, and spiritual advance of the one doing the loving. Impersonal love for all is the only way you will give the rest of the human race a fair shake, and the only way you will fulfill your royal ambassadorship. And that's coming up in our Wednesday night class, 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 21. We're almost there. Virtue love is not based on any human standards. It is based on having the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures in your heart. You cannot be in a state of ignorance of Bible doctrine and love the God the Father or the Lord Jesus Christ. Before you can ever have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, you have to know who and what God is. You have to know the essence of God. The only way you're going to know the essence of God and who and what God is to get maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. That means you need to find a sound doctrinal teaching church and get your patootie in there and grow up in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So before you can ever have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, you have to know who and what God is, His essence. And you have to especially know that God is virtue love. 1 John 4:10, in this is virtue love. Absolutely not that we had loved God, but that He, God the Father, loved us. And He sent His Son, the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 4:19, we, and only we, believers living the spiritual life, love with impersonal love for all, because He, God, first loved us with impersonal love for all. It is impossible to love the invisible God apart from knowing Him. And in order to have personal love for God and personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to know His thinking. And His thinking is Bible doctrine. His thinking is the mind of Christ, the Word of God. Personal love for God and occupation with Christ provides the only true and genuine motivation for believers in the church age. Personal love for God and occupation with Christ insulates the believer against arrogance and all its mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. The functional virtue of impersonal love for all is commanded in every Bible mandate that says, love the brethren, love all fellow believers, and love your neighbor as yourself. So a couple of things on functional virtue of impersonal love for all. One, impersonal love for all is unconditional love. Unconditional. It's for all mankind. It emphasizes the virtue of the subject, the one doing the loving, rather than the attraction or the rapport with the object of love. 2, impersonal love for all is the ultimate expression of virtue, humility, objectivity, and spiritual growth of the one doing the loving. The ultimate expression of virtue, humility, objectivity, and spiritual growth of the one doing the loving. 3, impersonal love for all is not an option. It's a mandate. A mandate given to every single one of the royal family of God. All of us, all of you. It's not an option. It's a mandate. Turn over to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. This is the Gospel of John. So we're in 1 John. Believe it or not, this is a deep point. The author of the Gospel of John is the same guy. John 13, verse 34. Jesus Christ is the one giving the mandate. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Functional virtue of impersonal love for all, even as I have loved you with impersonal love for all, that you also love one another. Love one another with impersonal love for all. Now just turn over the page to chapter 15. Jesus Christ gives us the mandate again. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. And then Jesus Christ goes on, verse 17, this I command you. It's not an option. This I command you, that you love one another. Now, turn over to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we, and there's two parts here, that first of all, commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now I want you to remember this, because when we get into verse 4, we have the initial victory over the world. The initial victory over the world is faith in Jesus Christ. And that's going to be in verse 4. And I'll give you a preview of coming attraction for verse 4. Because everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, overcomes Satan's cosmic system. And this is the initial victory that has overcome the world. Our faith in Jesus Christ. So that's John taught this in 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, the initial victory over the world, the cosmic system. And this is his commandment. And this commandment for the whole world, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. For the whole world. And then for those who believe in Christ, the next mandate and the commandment to love one another just as he commanded us, to love one another with impersonal love for all. 1 John 4, 7. 1 John 4, 7. Beloved, royal family of God in union with Christ, let us love one another, impersonal love for all, because virtue love is from the source of God. Furthermore, everyone who loves, impersonal love for all, has been born from the source of God, regeneration, and has gnoskoed, has come to know God. He has personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. 1 John 4:11. Beloved, royal family of God, if God so loved us, impersonal love for all mankind, first class condition, and he has so loved all mankind with impersonal love, then we also are obligated to keep on loving one another with impersonal love for all. And then 1 John 4:20 and 21. 1 John 4:20, if anyone claims, alleges, contends that I love God, and oh, I've heard a lot of believers, they all, that just rolls off their tongue. They're liars, but it rolls off their tongue. If anyone claims, alleges, contends that I love God, and yet he hates his fellow believer, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his fellow believer with impersonal love, whom he has seen, he absolutely is not able to love God, whom he has not seen. And we have this mandate from him, that the one who loves God, motivational virtue of personal love for God, should also love his fellow believer, functional virtue of impersonal love for all. So you notice where are all these passages? John, Apostle John, John 13:34, John 15:12-17, 1 John 3:23, 1 John 4:7, 1 John 4:11, 1 John 4:20-21. Now that last two verses, 1 John 4:20-21. One, every time you hate or have mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue of any type, any time you hate or judge or malign or run down or criticize some fellow believer, you are declared by God to be a liar. You're a liar and you do not love God at all. So every time you have mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue, every time you hate or judge or malign or run down or criticize some fellow believer, you are in effect a liar and you do not love God. In your arrogance, anyone who makes you feel inferior, well, you have to attack that person verbally through sins of the tongue. That sins of the tongue are the most grossest area of sins, and it leads to moral degeneracy. We are commanded to love God personally, which is impossible apart from maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. We are commanded to love all mankind without discrimination. And this is impossible without maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart that has developed motivational virtue of personal love for the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. Two, impersonal love for all depends upon personal love for God and occupation with Jesus Christ as its motivation. Impersonal love for all depends upon personal love for God and occupation with Jesus Christ as its motivation. You can never sort out your relationships with people until you first of all sort out your relationship with God. First of all, you develop personal love for God. That has to come first. And then that will motivate impersonal love for all and sorting out your relationships with people. 3, God the Father's impersonal love for all mankind is demonstrated in Operation Grace, the plan of salvation for the whole world, for mankind. God the Father's impersonal love for all mankind reached its peak when He, first of all, sent His eternal Son from heaven to earth on that very first Christmas. Why? To take on true humanity. Why? To go to a cross. Deity can't die. He had to go to a cross. He had to pay the penalty for the sins of the whole world. And so Operation Grace, He designed a plan. John 3:16, God loved the world so much, the whole world, impersonal love for all, that He gave His uniquely born Son, that whosoever believes in Him will never perish but have everlasting life. And Romans 5:8, but God the Father, demonstrates His own love, impersonal love for us, for the whole world, in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God the Father's impersonal love for all mankind reached its peak when He gathered up the sins of all mankind, imputed them to Christ on the cross, and then the justice of God the Father judged them all in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this provided salvation for all. Now, potentially, anyone, any place, anywhere can have eternal salvation through simple faith in Jesus Christ. 4, the Lord Jesus Christ's impersonal love for all mankind is demonstrated in His genuine humility. When the Father designed the plan, Operation Grace, the Son, the eternal Son of God, said, "Yes, sir, I'll do it." Willingly, "Yes, sir, I'll do it." So the Lord Jesus Christ's impersonal love for all mankind is demonstrated in His genuine humility to willingly go to the cross and solve mankind's problem of sin. Philippians 2:5-8. And we've seen that passage many times. Point 5. Impersonal love. The impersonal love of the Lord Jesus Christ for all mankind resulted in the gracious provision of unlimited atonement. Every member of the human race has the potential of eternal salvation. The impersonal love of the Lord Jesus Christ for all mankind resulted in the gracious provision of unlimited atonement. Every member of the human race has the potential for eternal salvation. 1 John 2:2, 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any should perish, anyone, but that all should come to repentance, a change of attitude toward Jesus Christ and faith in Him. So let's note some characteristics of impersonal love for all. 1, impersonal love is an objective and a relaxed mental attitude toward all mankind. It is an objective and relaxed mental attitude toward all mankind. Two, Impersonal love is the expression of man's virtue. Grace, righteousness. Grace, righteousness developed in the heart. Three, impersonal love is free from arrogance, the greatest sin, arrogance, and free of all of its accompanying mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. Impersonal love is free from arrogance and free from mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. Four, the object of impersonal love can be a friend or an enemy. It can be virtuous, someone who is virtuous, or someone who is very evil. It can be someone who is worthy, or it can be someone who is totally unworthy. The object of impersonal love can be someone who is ugly or someone who is beautiful. The object of impersonal love can be someone who is attractive and fun to be around or obnoxious and a pain in the butt. Five, impersonal love is stable and consistent. Stable and consistent. Whether you are confronted with friendliness or antagonism. Whether you are confronted with animosity or animation. Whether you are confronted with hatred or whether you're confronted with love. Six, impersonal love is not influenced by the antagonisms or prejudices of life. Impersonal love is not influenced by the antagonisms or prejudices of life. Impersonal love is one of the last virtues developed in the spiritual life. Impersonal love for all only functions when the believer is living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, divine power, divine grace, and has attained the ultimate objective of having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Impersonal love for all is motivated by personal love for God the Father and personal love for Jesus Christ, and is sustained by your consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. Seven, impersonal love is the problem-solving device for all personal relationships. All personal relationships. Now you have a lot of different personal relationships. Married, family, job, people in your where you live. Impersonal love for all is the problem-solving device for all personal relationships. And it's sad to see today, but the divine institution of marriage was created by Jesus Christ. The divine institution of marriage was designed by the Lord Jesus Christ. But if If you don't have impersonal love for all, there's a lot of people who think, well, I'll get married and, hey, I'm home free. Ta-da! Get married and, oh, I don't have any problems after I get married. No, you get married, you're going to have problems like you've never seen before. But the problem-solving device so that that marriage can be successful and happy and can handle all of the problems is impersonal love for all, virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And that's why if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're single, the most important thing for you is to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow up spiritually. Fulfill the ultimate objective and have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. Now! Do that while you're single. And if you don't accomplish that till you're 80, good! Get married when you're 81. It'll be great. But you need to have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. And that will solve every problem in that marriage relationship. Without honor, without integrity and virtue from impersonal love for all, there is neither capacity nor ability nor success in either romance or marriage. The cosmic believer is a loser believer. He possesses wealth without honor. He possesses success without integrity. He possesses promotion without ability. He possesses approbation without achievement. He possesses love without virtue. He has sex without happiness. That's the cosmic believer. The cosmic believer is a loser believer. 8, impersonal love manifests tolerance, courtesy, sensitivity, and a relaxed mental attitude to all. Impersonal love manifests tolerance, courtesy, sensitivity, and a relaxed mental attitude to all. 9. Impersonal love is free from mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. Impersonal love is free from mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. God is virtue love in His very essence. God is virtue love. And God invented impersonal love for all to be absolutely unique. He invented it to have impact. Impact in the world. Impact in all personal relationships. Impact before mankind. Impact to angels. 10. Impersonal love is non-discriminating and free from prejudice. Non-discriminating and free from prejudice. 11. Impersonal love is unconditional and non-hypocritical. Unconditional and non-hypocritical. 12. Impersonal love provides objectivity in personal relationships with all people. Impersonal love is only a virtue when it's directed toward everyone. And if you make one exception, you don't have impersonal love. Instead, you are arrogant. You are living in Satan's cosmic system. You are in interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. You cannot base impersonal love on what people do to you. Impersonal love is not influenced by the hostile or antagonistic attitude of others toward you. Impersonal love is the highest form of virtue in human interaction and demands that the believer live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. 12. Impersonal love is the believer functioning by the royal family honor code. You have put on in your soul the royal family honor code. So impersonal love is the believer functioning by the royal family honor code to all mankind. 13. Impersonal love is thoughtfulness. Thoughtfulness, true sensitivity, maximum grace function to all mankind. Impersonal love is thoughtfulness, true sensitivity, maximum grace function to all mankind. Impersonal love is thoughtful and has maximum grace function directed toward the weak believer. There are a lot of believers that are weak believers. Now, I expect most of you to be strong believers. And you know your freedoms that you have as a strong believer, as a spiritually mature believer. But there are a lot of believers who are weak believers. They're not strong. They don't have a lot of the Word of God in their heart. But impersonal love is thoughtful and has grace, maximum grace function directed toward the weak believer, the baby believer, the adolescent believer. And from impersonal love for all, you will refrain from doing things that you have the right to do. You know there are things you have the right to do from freedom from the Word of God. You know it, but you're a strong believer. But there are some weak believers out there that you would put a stumbling block before them and cause them to fall. So from impersonal love for all, you refrain from doing things that you have the right to do in order to help the weak believer in his spiritual growth. That's impersonal love for all. That thoughtfulness of the weak believer. 14, impersonal love for all results in reconciliation. When you have impersonal love for all, then you will remove barriers in human relationships. When you don't, you create barriers. But when you have impersonal love for all, you tear the barriers down. Reconciliation is tearing the barriers down. Removal of barriers in human relationships. Impersonal love for all results in reconciliation. Impersonal love function results in solving marital problems. It leads to reconciliation and solving of all problems in personal relationships. Reconciliation is the removal of barriers. Impersonal love motivates reconciliation. Impersonal love motivates the removing of barriers in personal relationships. 15. Impersonal love for all includes true sensitivity. true sensitivity, to be thoughtful in a very kindly sense. Impersonal love for all includes true sensitivity, to be thoughtful in a very kindly sense. True sensitivity is thoughtfulness and consideration of others. True sensitivity has excellent manners. It is the willingness to accommodate oneself to an individual or a group of individuals. So impersonal love for all includes true sensitivity, to be thoughtful in a very kindly sense. 16. Impersonal love for all means you show no partiality or favoritism. Favoritism and partiality breaks down impersonal love for all. James covers this. Turn over to, first of all, James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, here we have the hearer of the word. The fellow who is a hearer of the word, but he's not the doer of the word. James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word. That's a hearer only. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. One thing to hear the word, it's another thing to do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says, well, he's like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But now you see, if you're married, your wife will tell you what you look like. So you got to help there, see. But it works both ways too. There's times that I wake up in the morning and Deb wakes up, she looks at me, and I scream, and then she looks at me, and she screams, and we scream at each other. And I say, not to worry. I'm going to go in there and shave. Well, you know. The three sheens, you know. We got to start out with shit and then shower and then shave, you know. Then you got everything pulled together and then you're ready to go, see. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Now turn over to, or now look over, James 2. James 2, verse 1. Partiality, favoritism. James 2, verse 1. My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Don't show partiality. Suppose a man comes into your meeting, comes into Upland Bible Church wearing a gold ring. Well, invite him to dinner. No. Wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and then a destitute man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes, Mr. Goldfinger, and say, here's a great seat for you. Sit right next to me. But you look at the destitute man and say, you just stand up or sit on the floor. There's no seat for you. Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts, evil motivations? Listen, my dear brethren, has not God elected those who are destitute in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom? He promised those who love him. But you have insulted the destitute. Is it not the rich who are the ones who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of him to whom you belong, the name of Jesus Christ? If you really keep the royal law found in scriptures, love your neighbor as yourself, impersonal love for all, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism and partiality, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. So favoritism or partiality is a breakdown of impersonal love for all. By its very nature, impersonal love is directed to all, and therefore it never shows favoritism or partiality. In impersonal love for all, your mental attitude to everyone is basically the same. Virtue, honor, integrity to all. It is courteous, thoughtful, sensitive to the feelings of others. It is a relaxed mental attitude, totally free from mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. Illegitimate partiality is when you take the functional virtue of impersonal love and limit it to just certain people. But as soon as you put a limit or a boundary on impersonal love, you are showing illegitimate partiality and you do not have impersonal love for all. Impersonal love is only a virtue when it's directed to everyone. When you make one exception, you no longer have impersonal love. Instead, you are arrogant and you are living in the cosmic system. Illegitimate partiality means virtue is not being manifested to all. You don't have impersonal love for all. Showing illegitimate partiality is cosmic thinking. Showing illegitimate partiality demonstrates arrogance of soul and judging. Showing illegitimate partiality is discrimination of others. But impersonal love for all never, never discriminates. It is free from prejudice. Impersonal love is unconditional virtue directed toward all. Now, after 1 John 5, 1-3, we needed to pull these things together before we get to the initial victory over the cosmic system. And that's going to be verse 4. Father, we thank you for your grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.